God is good. He loves us, church. And He's got a plan for Christian Heritage. You know, we've heard it. Last Sunday morning, Sharon Witten stood up here, and the first word she said is this church is strategically placed. I reconnected with a pastor that I've known for a long time during the week. And I did it deliberately. It was a strategic move because I need... Who does the pastor go to? And one of the first things he says is, your church is in a very important position. So God is confirming it over and over and over again. And we hear not for nothing, church. And God loves this people that gathers in this house. He loves you. Amen. And He's got a great plan for us. He's got an awesome plan for us. And we just need to take this, I don't know, bull by the horns and I don't know, we've got to ride maybe a bucking bronco for a while, but we've got to hang on for dear life because we're about to go on an adventure with the Lord. And it's exciting times. Amen. Just before I go on with the message, there's a couple of things I'd like to announce. There was a lady that came and saw us from Maria about 3 weeks ago, and Shirley gave it to me and I said I'll announce it, but we haven't had time. Everybody knows that Maria is an old age home here in Krugersdorp North area. And they're offering services to the old aged people. And normally I wouldn't announce this from the pulpit. I'm going to put this up on the notice board and that's going to be it. But having had my own mom go through difficulties, having seen people in the church go through difficulties, I know that getting old is not always easy. And these people are offering services. So they're offering meals that will be delivered at fairly reasonable prices. They're offering blood pressure clinics on certain days of the month, home-based care, anything that you may require. They're even offering manicures and pedicures. Who knows that as you get older, it doesn't mean you don't want to look nice. Amen? I'm not advertising for them. I really don't want to, but the price is stupidly cheap. They're offering exercises. If you've ever seen my mother-in-law come to church, she looks really good for 77. She does exercise. She eats well. It's phenomenal. I pray my wife looks like her mother at 77. I look like a mother at 77. Okay. But exercise is good. They offer various Bible studies and things, but I believe our own church can offer that. They even offer bingo if you're really bored. They show movies, art classes. So all I'm saying is they're trying to be a service to the community. And particularly if you know somebody or if you are here and you are aging and you need a little bit of help, the church isn't always there in every area. Let's take advantage. For many, many years, this church supported them financially. And we may go back there if the Lord leads us that way. So they're part of our community. And part of our vision is to have an impact on our community. Right, that's enough of the announcements. Conrad, when you read out that scripture this morning out of Nehemiah, I just cried. I can tell you we've been working in the church. Hierdie pastoor is nie net 'n pastoor. He's become a bit of a maintenance man as well. And I don't mind it. I know it's not my full-time role, but there's a lot of fixing that's got to be done. And as he read about the storerooms that needed to be tidied, and I've read it, and you know, I just never personalized it. There's so much work to be done in this church. And we've had people volunteering. I can't believe it. I'm blessed. The people just have been coming. Not a lot of people, but people have been volunteering and just arriving here and saying, so what can I do? You turn around, you look upstairs there, you see these chairs that are turned upside down. There's somebody helping us take them down. We're going to sand them. It's an absolute mess upstairs there. You can't believe it. This is the church where we worship God. It's unacceptable. Simply unacceptable. And I can look around and I can point fingers, but I've been here for 28 years. So, I mean, if I point at you, I've got how many fingers pointing back at me? There's lots and lots and lots of work to be done here. I went on Friday, And it's expensive for Trevor. I don't think he knows what to do with me anymore, because every time he sees me, I'm bringing slips. I bought 80 liters of paint. We're going to paint the outside of our church. And it's not going to be white. So when we call a work day, there's lots of work to be done. Church, if two people arrive here, it's not going to be enough. I want to invite you to join with us and work together. This is your sanctuary. This is our sanctuary. Amen. This is where we come. Helen, you're let off for now. Okay? Tembi, you're let off for now. That's because we're getting more babies coming into the church. Amen? And please pray for them, because their babies are imminent. We didn't even think we'd see Helen here again. You keep on confusing me, Helen. You must stop this nonsense now. All right. I just want to encourage you, church. We've got a lot of work to do. Conan and I climbed on the roof. We got a leakage problem up here. It's a mess. And it's not going to cost 50 cents to fix. But if we can all work together, we can do this. We can do it without breaking the bank. We can do it without seeing our church fall into wreck and ruin. It's not acceptable. We can't leave it like that anymore. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Who's with me in this? Amen. So Saturday afternoons, that's my prize time. But I'll sacrifice it if I have to. We've only got one Saturday afternoon in October that we can do, because the 31st, remember, and I forgot to put in the announcement, we're coming to share the vision and the mission of the church. All the workers in the church, it's a command performance. What does a command performance mean? It means if your mother-in-law invites you for lunch and you don't pitch, you're in deep, deep trouble. So if the pastor invites you to a command performance and you're not there, I'm not going to say anymore before I get into trouble. But we'd also like to invite the rest of the members. The vision is for all of us, okay? But the reason I've invited the workers is because I want the vision to flow through everything that we're doing, whether it's greeting the people in the front, whether it's the children's church, whether it's painting the walls outside. The vision must flow. Amen. So we need to acquaint ourselves and get used to the vision. Now I'm going to get on with the message. And we trust that the Lord will bless it. Now, Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you that you've got a plan and a purpose for Christian Heritage. We thank you that you've placed us strategically, that we are situated in the midst of a thriving community. Lord, it's a thriving community. There are people everywhere around us here. And Lord, as we look further, as we look beyond Burgerswip and Vessies and Krugersdorp North and Krugersdorp Central, we look further out. We look as far as Noordheuvel. We look further than that, Steuben's Valley, even Little Falls. Father God, we look down into Muldersdrift and Randfontein. Lord, can I even speak about as far as Randburg and up here, Kagiso and Manzieville and wherever. Lord, we think about our surrounding areas and we pray that the light of this church will shine. Lord, may it even go across borders into other nations. We heard last week we need to lift our vision further. We've got to get off the porch. Doesn't mean we must go and stand outside the gate. We've got to get into our missionary mode and reach to the ends of the earth. And Father, as we go into this word this morning, we thank you for what you've already said, your comfort for your people. I pray that this word will speak to our hearts and it will give us something to take hold of as we walk further into this adventure of consecration and sanctification. As we walk into the adventure of life with you, knowing that you're with us every step of the way. I pray, open every heart and mind, make us ready. Let nothing be lost of this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, so you've heard it 50 times this morning. We're in our month of consecration and sanctification. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands and tell me if you've been fasting, but I am going to ask you if you've been reading through the book of Nehemiah. And if you have been doing so, there's so many messages in the book of Nehemiah. And I trust the Lord's been speaking to your heart as well. If you haven't, we should be at chapter 7 now. You can catch up in one day. Right, so by tonight you can be done. And then we're going to read the next two chapters in the next week. Some of it's genealogy, so you can go quick. But have a look in amongst those genealogies, because sometimes it says something about people. And it says, it speaks about people. The one man, I can't remember, was more righteous than the other. Why would it point out one man that's more righteous than another? That's the heart we've got to have, church. We've got to have a heart that God says, ah, I see Maria there. She shines for me. I see Shanae. She stands out in the midst of the congregation. I'm not picking on people, okay? I'm saying that's got to be our heart. We want to let Him say, I can't see anybody that shines up more than the other because they're all shining. Can I hear an amen? I need you to be awake this morning. Amen. I want to hear you saying amen. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to go to sleep. I had a late night last night and an early morning. All right. God has a great purpose for Christian Heritage. Our mission statement is, who can tell me what our mission statement is? It's on your bulletin. Flourishing in faith and? Ek gaan julle pak slag gee. Flourishing in faith and growing in love. Amen? Doesn't that speak of a people that are sanctified? We flourish in faith and grow in love. Now this one I won't ask you to memorize because it's a bit of a mouthful. Our vision, so our mission statement is our to be. Our as is. Our vision is our to be. Where are we going? It says this. Our vision is to grow and thrive. Church, if you look around, you'll see that we're busy growing. Can we give the Lord praise for that? And to thrive, to become a thriving church. A thriving church is not a church that's busy falling apart. We need somebody, we need a volunteer. We need somebody who can help us to get to that cross outside the church. Somebody's got scaffolding. You can climb up there, Anthony, but you need to be tied onto that thing. We need to paint it. It needs to look good again. It looks awful. That's the sign that's standing up higher than any other sign in this church. It's not speaking about us thriving. If we're going to thrive, you remember the movie Faith Like Potatoes? What did he do? He planted potatoes while it wasn't raining in the drought. We're busy planting potatoes, church, because God, the revival is, yeah, we better be ready. Amen. Our vision is to grow and thrive, becoming a church of irresistible influence. We're moving into the hospitals. We're moving into the shelters. We're moving into the neighborhoods. We're going to, I promise you, the next step is missions. We're going to get involved in mission work. Joe, you're going to have the workers you want. Ivan, I know you've got a heart for it. You're going to have people. Where's Ivan? There he is. I'm going to ask people to come and talk to you. Is that all right? We'll coordinate it. I'm going to ask people to come and speak to you, Joe, when you're ready. Okay? He doesn't always want people. There's times when he needs people. But there's enough to be done. Irresistible influence. We want to make a difference in our community. Irresistible, it means they can't do without us. If we closed our doors tomorrow, they'll notice that we're gone. Who wants to be a church like that? It's part of our vision. Reaching those God has in the city and, as Ron said last week, elsewhere. Not just Krugersdorp. Not just Gauteng, not just South Africa, all over the world. Pray for the daily encouragements that are going out. Pray for them. They're reaching all over the world. Send them to people all over the world. Send them to your brothers and your sisters and those family members of yours that have immigrated to Australia. Send them to China. Send them to, I don't care. Let the word of God go where it needs to go. Let our light shine far and wide. And then who knows if God doesn't call some people to be missionaries in some of those places. Oh, no, we didn't want that, Lord. We'd rather send the... You know what I'm saying. I'm getting carried away. To be a church of irresistible influence, reaching those God as is in the city and elsewhere, as we love God, love people, and make disciples. I want to ask even right now, you see the announcements keep coming. I want to ask right now, we've got new people in the church. We need to start membership classes. If there are people that want to take membership in the class, in the church, will you please come and speak to my beautiful wife, Cheryl? She's sitting here in front after the service. We've got some forms we want you to fill in. And what we're going to do is we're going to do it in a small group mode like we did the last time. It was a blessing because that small group became a genuine small group and it runs today as a proper small group and they are receiving discipleship training in the small group. So the first thing we want to do is put up your hand if you want to take, no, you don't have to, but if you want to take membership, just come and speak to us, and then we're going to train you, and then by the grace of God, we're going to build small groups, and we're going to see our small groups multiplying all over the city. Amen. And I speak that prophetically. And we're going to make disciples. You know what? As we love God and love people, that is about loving God and telling people about Jesus and letting that love shine forth from us. But making disciples is more than just getting people saved. This weekend, out of this church, not initiatives of this church, but both Glenn and Ryan ran separate crusades in separate parts yesterday, and Ryan has been going all week. He's been doing a phenomenal job. Influence coming out of this church, not just this church, but out of this church, touching people in Toekomsrus and Princess. And God is busy moving. Amen. And people have been getting saved. I want to tell you that none of our vision, none of our mission statement can be achieved if we are not sanctified and consecrated to the Lord. Who knows that the Lord sets apart vessels for His use? Amen. Can I hear an amen? So, how do we make sure we set apart? By making sure we're living right. By making sure we're sanctified. Spend time with Him. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to make you holy. You can't be holy. He will make you holy. Amen. But you need to spend that time seeking His face and asking Him to do that. We're moving to a new level of relationship with God, a new level of spirituality, a new level of spiritual impact on our community. I keep looking out the window when I say that. I'm doing it deliberately because, yes, we are the body of Christ, but there's the community. It's out there. We're busy rebuilding the walls of our lives as we're learning about it through the book of Nehemiah. But like the people in the days of Nehemiah, we are also a people who once were in captivity. The enemy had our hands bound. We were inwardly focused. We were looking at our own self. We were looking at our problems. We weren't looking out. We were in captivity. And like the people in the days of Nehemiah, they had to be set free from Babylon, captivity in Babylon, and sent back to Jerusalem before they could rebuild the walls. I believe God has loosed those chains. We're a people that has been set free from captivity. He's brought us here, but it's time to rebuild. There was another people, a great people that God set free from captivity. And that's who I want to speak about this morning. The Israelites, as they came out of Egypt, God freed them from Egypt. And there were four things that I picked up in His Word the other morning. I was going to preach about something totally different this morning. I was actually going to preach about the compromise that's creeping into the church, but I'll keep that for another message. But I want you to know, church, that what's happening in the world around us and in the church around us, some of it is not of God. This whole thing about homosexuality in the pulpit and accept it. We've got to love the sinner, but hate the sinner. Amen. Keep your eyes open, church. We can't go to sleep. But that's it. That's all I'm going to say about it for now. I want to speak about a people that God freed. Who knows that Egypt doesn't only represent physical captivity. It represents spiritual captivity. God is bringing us out of both physical captivity and spiritual captivity. Before they were able to leave, they needed to kill the Passover lamb. They needed to paint the doorposts with the blood of the lamb so that the angel of death could pass over. God let them be sanctified and consecrated. The same thing with the nation of Israel before they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. They had to make themselves ready. They had to get sanctified and consecrated, set apart for God. Israel had several obstacles to overcome on their way to the promised land. Today I want to speak to you about four of those challenges, with particular reference to water. The first one is the waters of destruction. Secondly, I want to speak to you about the waters of obstruction. Then I want to speak to you about the waters of bitterness. And fourthly, I want to speak to you about the waters of discontent. As we go through this month of consecration, I believe God wants us to deal with these same four challenges and approach them with faith. Part of this word is in line with the word that we heard this morning, comfort, comfort my people. As I speak about the first waters, the waters of destruction. In Exodus 1, we see God's promise to Abraham unfolding. Israelites had multiplied. They'd become millions over a period of 400 years. They multiplied so greatly that they became powerful. And the Egyptians, they were actually more than the Egyptians. And the Egyptians became afraid. And eventually one of the kings came to power and said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. You know what the enemy says about your Christian heritage? He says, look, the people of Christian heritage now outnumber us and are stronger than we are, because who knows that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And the enemy says, we must make a plan. And who says we're going to say, well, we're not going to let you make a plan. Where's the amen? We can't let the enemy make a plan. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. And the more alarmed the Egyptians became. I want to tell you this morning, church, if you're facing difficulties in your life, if you're feeling that the wheels are starting to fall off, if you're starting to feel that things are getting tough, don't worry about it. Because the more the enemy tries to oppress us, the more God will bless us. The more we're going to go forward. The more we're going to experience His breakthrough. The more we're going to experience His hand moving in our lives. Who would like to feel the Lord's hand moving in their lives? Are you willing to pay the price for it? Are you willing to face the foe that is going to say, oh, I don't like this? He's not going to stand still, but we don't care about that because God is for us. Amen. We don't need to step back for the enemy. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. When you help the Hebrew woman as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. I hope you're all having girls. I'm joking, okay. Right. We need boys. We need men. Do you know what was a blessing to me this morning? We only had 4 people in the prayer room this morning, sadly. That wasn't a blessing, okay? Right, we need to take our prayer time seriously. They were all men. It's time, men, that we stood up as men, as the heads of our homes, as the leaders of our families, and we started to be counted. Can I hear an amen? It's time we stood up, guys. We can't let our wives do it all. Yes, they're there beside us, praying for us, carrying us. But God put us in place to lead, to be the men that we need to be. Why do you think they wanted to kill the babies, the baby men? Because they were the ones that were able to go to Bethel. They had the strength. Do you know that you can go to Bethel in the spirit, mighty men of valor? Hallelujah. Church, we are too quiet this morning. Are you taking this in? Can I ask you, please help me this morning. Shout amen.
Amen.
That's it. Okay. Now remember that just now. It's not to it is to make me feel good, okay, but it makes me feel like you're getting it, all right. It's important that we get this. But listen to this. But because the midwives feared God, see, the enemy fears God, they refused to obey the king's orders, and they allowed the boys to live too. So men, there's hope for us. And in Exodus 1 verse 22, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. And thus for Israel, the Nile River became the waters of destruction. My first point this morning, we need to face the waters of destruction, church. The enemy is not going to stand still. We might have to face the waters of destruction. But I want to tell you something. There's hope for us. Because when Moses was born, his mother saw, she just simply couldn't do it. She couldn't take this beautiful baby boy of hers and throw him in the water, offer him up to the water gods of the Egyptians. Rubbish! We will not do that. We will not give in to the enemy. We will not throw our heritage away. Amen. We're not going to let the enemy come and mess us around with the waters of destruction. So what Moses' mother did is she built this little basket, and she put pitch and tar in it so it would float. And she couldn't sacrifice her child, but she did put him in the water. So she fooled the enemy, really. Because, just think about it, if Pharaoh found out, well, she'd done what he told her to do. And we know the story of how Pharaoh's daughter came along, and she found this little baby crying, and compassion welled up in her. And Miriam, Moses' sister, was just over there, and she was waiting, and she ran up and she said, oh, can I help you look after him? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes. And she took this little baby that Moses' mother had put in the Nile River with great tears and great sadness. And she took her back and put him back in his own mother's arms. And what happened? Pharaoh's daughter paid her. That's what God can do. When we face the waters of destruction, we mustn't simply accept it. We mustn't accept it and throw it in the... We must say, okay, so what can I use to build myself a little basket of reeds? Where is the tar? Where is the pitch? God's got a plan. It doesn't matter what I face. God will give me the answer. When you're facing difficulties, say, God, show me what to do. Show me how to build that little basket. Show me what is the basket in my life that I can put together. We may be facing a bad report from a doctor. We may be facing retrenchment. We may be facing financial hassles. It doesn't matter. You may be facing the waters of destruction, but I want to tell you today, there's hope. Don't just give up. Amen. In Exodus 2 verse 10, it says this, later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, and this is where the whole message came from. For she explained, I lifted him up out of the water. You may be facing deep waters today, but I want to tell you, my God, our God, he said this morning, comfort, comfort my people. He says, here I am. I see you in your difficult situation. Guess what? I'm lifting you up out of those deep waters. You don't have to face the waters of destruction. Not when you serve the living God. Who serves the living God here this morning? You serve the God that can bring you up out of the waters of destruction. It doesn't matter what we may be seeming to be facing. Satan might be trying to destroy us. But we have God on our side. I can tell you. I can tell you, when we go into spiritual battle, he'll try anything. He tried to distract us with the satanic distraction that came into our church. We've dealt with it. Then I went and read Psalm 91. And I just saw the blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing for those who trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord, church? He can't stand against you when you know who you are. You can face those waters of destruction and God will bring you through. Psalm 40 verse 2 says this, he lifted me out of the pit of despair. Who's facing the pit of despair today? Out of the mud and the mire, whose life is a mess today? Can I see a show of hands? Whose life feels like it's a bit of a mess today? Who feels like they're facing the mud and the mire? Let me tell you, those of you that have lifted your hands, God says today, I will lift you up out of the mud and the mire. He will change your life. Larry was praying this morning. He prayed, Lord, change circumstances. Change circumstances. I believe God's saying he's going to change circumstances. Continues to say, he set my feet on the solid ground. Amen. This ground is not going to move. I can jump. I can be a 10-ton Tessie. It's going to make no difference. Because God will set us on the solid ground as I walked along. But God. But God. Let us not just accept the waters of destruction when we face them. Let us do something about it. Let us be like Moses' mother and build our little boat. Secondly, I want to speak to you about the waters of obstruction. If we go forward some 80 years, Pharaoh finally conceded that he couldn't win against God. But he only relented for a moment. He told Moses, okay, get out of here, take your people. Get out! We don't want you here anymore. But it only lasted for a moment. And I want to tell you something, church. That's the enemy. You see, our life has got to be a life of ongoing battle. We cannot ever take our battle armor off. We can't ever relent. Because you see, you'll get a victory today. And the enemy will relent for a little bit. But tomorrow, he's going to come with another trick. And he's going to try and pull you down in a different way. But we've got to stand up and we've got to say, no ways, I'm not going to allow that to happen. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, it says this, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The Israelites had been freed out of Egypt. They were running for their lives. They looked back, they could see the dust of the Egyptian army facing them. There's the picture on the board.
The Egyptian army was chasing them. If they looked up, they saw the cloud of God's protection in the day and the cloud of fire by night. And they looked forward, all they could see was the Red Sea. They came to an obstruction. They came to a dead end. Sometimes we come to a dead end in our lives. We feel, where are we going to? Where are we going to? What next? I went to the bank manager and I didn't get the loan that I needed. I got fired. I don't have an income. My child has given up on me. The relationship is gone. We've come to a dead end. I don't know what your circumstance might be, but you may be feeling this morning like you're facing a dead end. And the Israelites came to the dead end and they turned to Moses and they cried, why did you bring us out here to die? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Come on, we can't turn around and go back to the old ways. We can't go back. Do you know, church, that we have come so far? We can't turn around and go back to who we were. We're a different people. God has changed us. He's changed me. He's changed you. We're not the same people we were 6 weeks ago. We're not the same people we were 2 weeks ago, because God is a progressive God. So if you're facing a dead end, don't say, oh, I better turn around and go back to where I came from. You've got to go to God. The Israelites looked back and saw the dust of Pharaoh's chariots. They looked forward and saw an immovable barrier, the Red Sea. They panicked and started to cry and complain, and that's just like us. We face difficult situations, and we start to cry and complain, and we can't see the way out. But instead of looking forward or looking back, they should have looked up. Because there was the cloud of God's glory. He was right there with them in the middle of their situation. How many times have we faced these difficult circumstances and not looked up? And God wants to say to us this morning, when we're facing the waters of obstruction, it's time to look up. Because God cares about us. He cares about us. In Exodus 14, verse 13 to 14. I thought of pretending I'm Moses this morning, but I won't because I might get myself into trouble. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. You know this thing about stay calm? This whole new thing. It's on the mugs and pictures and be calm. I don't know where it comes from. I'm a bit doff, okay? But I saw it in the Word of God. So from now on when I see it, I'm just going to remember that scripture. The Word of God says, just stay like kalam. Muni panic ni. Okay, as Pastor Pat used to say. Muni panic ni. We've got to look up. Because God will fight for us. God goes before us. If I lose my job, I'm going to trust Him to go before me and find a new work for me. I'm going to trust Him to go with me into that interview. If I'm having trouble in my workplace, if I've made a mistake and done something wrong, I'm going to ask God to go before me and prepare the way for me with my bosses. I speak that way because I've experienced it. Amen. We all make mistakes. We all get it wrong from time to time. God is with us. He says, look up. I'm with you. I will fight for you. Just stay calm. The Egyptians you see today, that dust you see behind you, don't worry about it. You're never going to see them again. And when the enemy comes against you with the barriers and the waters of obstruction, don't look back. Don't look forward. Just look up. Wave your hands and the seas will open before you as God prepares the way for you. Who's enjoying this message today? Are you being encouraged? I felt the Lord saying, comfort my people. I think there are people here that are facing situations like that. They feel like they're facing the waters of destruction, the waters of obstruction. The next two are ones that, well, we create these problems for ourselves. The third one I want to speak about is the water of bitterness. And yes, I am watching the clock. I'm going to make sure I'm done on time. In Exodus 15, verse 22 to 25, I don't know if my voice is going to last. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea. That was after they passed through the waters of obstruction, okay? They moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. And when they came to the oasis of Marah, just think about it, they're walking 3 days without water. Where's the water? Where's the water? We need water.
water. We're starting to panic now. We can't live without water. We can still go without food for a few days, but water, we need water. They see this beautiful oasis, the green trees, the palm trees. I can just picture it. Palm trees, the lady lying there with a tropica, the sun shining. And they get all excited, and they get to this water. And when they came to the oasis of Marah, and the water was too bitter to drink, there was a problem with the water. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And Moses threw it in the water. And this made the water good to drink. Life is not always a walk in the park, church. I believe God is busy blessing us as a church. In some ways, it has been a walk in the park. In other ways, we have worked ourselves a bit silly here. We've had a lot of support and encouragement over the last 6 weeks. I'm talking about Cheryl and myself now. But sometimes we look at situations. We walked up there and we saw the mess up there. It was discouraging. Okay, life is not always a walk in the park. People will be nasty to you. People will be ugly to you. People are not nice. Your family is sometimes not nice. Sometimes somebody in the church is not nice, okay? People can be terribly hurtful. They can say things that, let's say I'm a little bit overweight, like me, you see? I'm a little bit overweight, so I'm pulling my tummy. And they say, oh, you're looking really healthy today. You know what they say? You're looking a bit plump, okay? And we see for exactly what it is. They don't think we notice it, but they were actually ugly. And it hurts. People aren't always easy. And we face waters of bitterness. I just use that as an illustration because I know I'm looking slim and trim, you know. it's a joke with my family, don't worry. My joke with my family is that I'm going to have a six-pack by December. I'm not going to show you, don't worry. And when I start speaking about being slim and trim, yalla lach lekker, ne? Maybe I will show you. All right. We first got to get there. Yeah, pastor six-pack. I'm already known as the faster pastor. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, speaking about that, there's another announcement. I'm not going to give it now. Please remind me just now. Okay. Unforgiveness and bitterness. The waters of bitterness. We need to face the waters of bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness. There's a scripture that speaks about it. And I've got it here. Hebrews 12 verse 15. Look after each other. Did you hear that? Look after each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, look after each other. Who do you think the Lord's talking to you about? Church, who do you think the Lord's talking to you about this morning when you turn to that person next to you? Look after each other. We need to look after each other. This wasn't written to the people out there. It was written to the church. Amen? The believers. So that none of you fails to receive the grace of God, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. We don't need trouble. Church, if we're going to be sanctified and consecrated, we don't need trouble. And it says, no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And I spoke to somebody last night about it, about bitterness. You know, bitterness causes all sorts of sickness. If we retain bitterness and unforgiveness in us, arthritis particularly, it causes that acidity to build up in your bones. If there's bitterness in you, the root of bitterness grows, it's a sickness. It will kill you eventually. We can't allow the root of bitterness. If we're going to be consecrated and sanctified before the Lord, if we are going to live victoriously, if we're going to be the people that have the comfort my people. We can't take some of the word and say, that's good, that works for me. And say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Or, I'm going to hold this resentment in my life. You can't. You can't do it. You can't do it. Pauline will tell you. Sorry, Pauline, I'm picking on you again. But people with cancer, the doctors will tell you, those who approach it with a positive attitude, survive far longer than those who get bitter and twisted about it. It's as simple as that. Bitterness will kill you. And we need to face the waters of bitterness. And you know what God said? He cried out to the Lord. Because the people started to complain. And we start complaining. When we're bitter, we start complaining about everything. And we start finding fault with everything. I might be frustrated with Cheryl and then I'll go and pick on Joshua. That's what bitterness will do to you. And when Moses cried out to the Lord said, go and pick a branch and throw it in the water. And I was reminded immediately of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to put the cross of Jesus Christ across our bitterness and across our unforgiveness. Because the Word of God says, if we forgive others, then they will forgive us. And we need to bring the wood of the cross of Christ and put it on our bitterness and let the blood of Jesus Christ wash us clean so that we can forgive. And there's people standing here, and not standing here, I'm the only one standing. Oops, must be me. The people sitting here today, they are struggling with bitterness. And ask the Lord to show you. David said, search my heart, O God. Test and try my anxious thought. And let me see if there's any wicked way in me. And if you are holding bitterness, just let it go. God will help you to do it. If we're going to walk in sanctification and consecration, we need that. But if we are going to walk in victory, now I want to show you something. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me. And I'm going to start to run out of time, so ek beter wikkel. And I will. Exodus. Do you know, and even if I don't even finish the message, it doesn't matter, because if you can take this, it'll change your life. So sit up and take notice. Dealing with bitterness will release God's covenant of healing in our lives. Did you know that? Now let me take you to the scripture. Exodus 15. It's the very first place where God's covenant of healing is found in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the place where the covenant of healing is found in the Old Testament. 15 verse 25, halfway through Exodus. It was there at Marah, the place of bitterness, that the Lord set before them the following decree, the following instruction. As a standard, it's a standard. This instruction is a standard. You know what a standard is? It's something that stands up there. It's like a banner. You look up to it. You can see it all the time. To test their faithfulness to Him. Let me tell you what. God tests us in this area of unforgiveness and bitterness. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands and keeping all His decrees, now listen to this. Then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. Remember the plagues He sent on the Egyptians? Then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. There it is. God's covenant of healing is released when we deal with bitterness and unforgiveness. Am I twisting the word of God? Read it. Pray about it. Sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes our sickness is caused because of unforgiveness and bitterness that we are holding on to. We can ask God to release His covenant of healing. I am the Lord that heals you. Jehovah Rapha, the physician. If we can deal with bitterness and unforgiveness in our lives. Think about that. That's for somebody here this morning. But we need to listen carefully to His voice. I'm not saying that's the only thing, okay? But as far as I'm concerned, if I read that, I can link those two together. Bitterness and healing. If we can forgive, we can be healed. Final one, waters of discontent. Exodus 17, verse 1 to 2. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. Once again, they were looking for the water. But this time, they were in the wilderness. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, Moses! They demanded. You know what Moses said? Shut up! Oh, no. He said, quiet. Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? When we start getting complaining, when we start complaining against God's leaders, effectively we are complaining against God. I praise the Lord. I didn't put myself here. I don't believe any of the leaders in this church put themselves in that position. In fact, I believe anybody who goes for a position like that in a kind of, what's the right word, ambitious manner. There's nothing wrong with some spiritual ambition. But when people, it becomes their focus, their ambition is to get promotion in the kingdom. Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. So when people come and start asking for promotion, it's not going to happen. Amen. Right. So when they complain against Moses, they were complaining against God, because God put Moses there. Amen. And I wasn't trying to make any inferences. I was just telling you that for interest's sake. Right. As far as I'm aware, nobody's complaining against us. But you would know better, because sometimes people talk behind your back. He said, why are you complaining against me, or why are you testing the Lord? By now, the people had seen the Lord's miraculous provision, His protection, and His grace over and over and over. And yet, again, they complain. Church, I want to ask you, have we seen God's miraculous provision and protection and healing and blessing over this church? Amen. How many times have we seen it? Over and over and over. Right. So we've seen it. So we've got no reason. For some people, to spend a day without complaining would mean that they haven't fulfilled their life's calling. It's the truth. Some people can't get through a day without complaining. If you switch on talk radio, or if you watch newscasts, all you see, people complaining all the time, all the time. Yes, there's stuff that we shouldn't be happy about. We shouldn't accept their status quo. But if we go through life complaining, where is our focus? Our focus is on our problems. Remember what happened. The Israelites came to those waters of obstruction. Instead of looking up, they looked there, they looked, oh, the Egyptians are coming. Oh, the waters in front of us. They were complaining, 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 complaining. What God is saying to us this morning is we need to work through the waters of discontent. We must stop our complaining. I didn't hear an amen. It's possible to have an in church too. We've God's blessing, we've got His presence, we've got His provision, but people will focus on the negative. I spoke about it last Sunday night, about us being sanctified in our thinking. Sanctified thinking is not just about holiness, it's about thinking right. God is calling us, Christian Heritage, out of discontent. A sanctified and a consecrated people are people of joy and contentedness. What is in our mission statement? That we will grow and thrive. Thrive in our vision statement. Sorry. We will grow and thrive. We want to thrive as a people. All right. And then we know that God said this. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile. Call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I'm talking to the leaders now. Come and join us. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. God will stand before us, and the water will come gushing out. Strike the rock, and the water will come gushing out, and the people will be able to drink. The Lord was right there. He said, I will stand before you. Instead of complaining, realize that God stands right before you. When I complain, I'm complaining against God, because I'm complaining against my lack of ability to trust Him to be there in everything I need. Amen. He's right there with us. He said, bring the leaders. Come, trust me. If you've got a problem, church, if you're facing difficulties, come, let us gather the leadership around. We'll pray for you. God is right here. He'll meet you in the need. Amen. Are we guilty of complaining in the presence of the Lord, church? All we have to do is ask God to bring and trust Him to bring water out of the rocks that we are facing in our lives. Are we willing to deal with our waters of discontent today? So let me ask you this question, okay? And I'm not picking on you in any way. Can I ask you this question? Can we make a little, I'm not going to say covenant, can we make a little agreement? Can we agree that the next time that somebody complains to us, no, let me turn that around. Can we agree that the next time that we complain to somebody in the church, that they have permission to tell us, stop complaining before the Lord? I heard some amens. Am I asking you something that's too hard to do? Can we make a personal decision? Because that way we will learn. Even I complain, okay? I'm not picking on you. Even I complain. Can we make an agreement that when that comes out of our mouth, we are willing to hear somebody else say, you're complaining before the Lord. Who's willing to agree with you? Let's turn this into reality, church. Amen. So now I will conclude the message. We face four waters of challenge in this journey we have to our promised land. During this month of consecration and sanctification, each one can be overcome by faith. Each one can be overcome by faith. Remember, He's our comforter. We face the waters of destruction, but God can rescue us. We don't need to accept Him. We face the waters of obstruction, but He can move every obstacle. Look up, not at the obstacle. We face the waters of bitterness, but by the grace of God and the power and presence of His Holy Spirit, forgiveness can come as we allow the blood of Jesus Christ and His cross to cover our unforgiveness and our bitterness. And we'll deal with those things in our life. And remember, linked to bitterness and to letting go of those things is a covenant of healing. And then the waters of discontent. Why be discontent when God is right here with us? Can I hear an amen? I want to close this message with what God said to Moses when Moses asked God who he was at the burning bush. God replied to him and said this, I am that I am. And I went and read it in a different translation. It said, I will be what I will be. Church, I want to tell you this morning, God will be what He will be. And He is God. He's God in your circumstances. He's God when you face destruction, when you face obstruction, when you face, what are the other two? Discontent, and when you face, I missed one. It's sin. I must remember what I preached. Bitterness, okay. He's God. Let Him be God in our circumstances. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to ask one more thing. And I'm going to do this every Sunday morning. I've asked the Lord that even if we don't preach about salvation, that as people sit here, they'll be convicted. Let's close our eyes. If there's anybody here this morning that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you were to die today and you were to stand at heaven's door and God would say, why should I let you enter into my heaven? And you're not sure what you would answer, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody like that? Everybody else's eyes closed. Is there anybody like that this morning? Not sure. I see your hand, sister. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Right. Okay. We will pray for that, sister. Now, if you've been facing difficulties, if you can link to these things, you're facing obstruction, destruction, bitterness, discontent in your life, if that's you, and I'm not going to know which one you're raising your hand for. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. Raise it high. My Father, our Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus this morning. You are our comforter. Each and every person standing here this morning has a need. But there are those that have specific needs in these areas that I've preached about this morning. They need Your touch. They need Your healing power. They need You to move the obstruction, the destruction. They need You to remove the bitterness and the discontent out of their lives. Father, this is a work that can be done by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And we ask even right now, as the hands are raised, that they will receive what they are asking for. In Jesus' name, we break the power of those things over their life. And we lose joy and healing and deliverance and provision. We release work. We release happiness, Lord God. We release contentedness in Jesus' name. We release forgiveness, Lord. Let it go in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for testimony to come out of this message, that we will hear you've been moving in these people's lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And just as we stand here, Maria, kan ek vra om gou-gou vorentoe te kom? Ek gaan net met jou bid. I don't want to embarrass you, my sister.